نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات للأبواب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم يتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, there are no words, there is no tongue, there is no energy, there is no power, that how can I be grateful and thankful to Allah ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala has such a great and blessed time. This is such a blessed moment and days that we cannot imagine. And in such a time, Allah ta'ala to us, He has given us such an action that He has assembled and gathered us for, that due to this, today, these days, the nights, the days, they are full of blessings. And Allah has given us that same ibadah, the same worship, in other words, dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. And the soul, the ruh of Hajj is dhikr. It is the soul of Hajj is dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. So at that time, Allah Ta'ala, and that time we are sitting in now is the time of Asr, which is the special select time that Allah Ta'ala has made for dhikrullah, for His remembrance. So it's great generosity of Allah, and I most definitely that I am thankful to Allah, grateful to Allah, that these people of this masjid did not say to me that please come Asr time and do dhikrullah. Then most definitely we do dhikr, but we wouldn't do it now. And we would have done it at the time of Isha. But the difference between the heavens and the earth, between this dhikr and the dhikr at Isha time, in these days. So this is also Allah's generosity, that Allah Ta'ala through an insan, Allah forces the individual. And this is Allah's, the sign of the love of Allah Ta'ala. Those who Allah Ta'ala loves, the hadith, that those people who Allah Ta'ala loves, Allah Ta'ala gives them the tawfiq to do their dhikr. So alhamdulillah, Allah seated us down here, assembled us, and we shouldn't be worried that there's less people or there are more people. And we should see the action. What's the action that we are doing? That what are we getting from this? Alhamdulillah. So the reality is this, that for every action, there's an external zahir and there's a batin, an internal part of it. A reality of it internally and externally. The batin. So dunya, the work of the dunya, is that zahir we see, we want to increase the zahir, the external things. And I'll give the example of that. That if you look at the fruits, there's a fruit and it has a zahir and it has an internal. There's the skin, the exterior, what we eat, and then you have the seed or the stone. So zahiri, we have the skin, and for example, people, you know, they peel the skin or they eat the fruit externally. But those people who have got understand, they don't worry about the skin, the exterior. They say, let's break this and let's eat what's inside, the root of it. Let's eat that. Because the root is the real thing. That's the batin and the reality of that fruit. That's the real benefit of the fruit. So in the same way, if you take the almond, the badam, that also has a skin and an exterior. So my brothers, this is the reality of the dunya. One is the zahir, the external, everything we see. One is the batin, the inner state of the dunya. And the situation has become today that the zahir of the world, the attractive things, the imagery things, this is also our weakness, that we are immersed and we fall out the mountains, trees, rivers, greenery, beautiful scene, women, girls, and wealth and money. That's all spread out around the world, the zahir of the world, and we are enjoying all of that and running after it. Immersing ourselves. If we take a percentage of the human beings, then maybe everybody falls in that category first, that they run and give their all for the external imagery things. That's the weakness of a human being. We're dying for this dunya. My Hazrat Sahib said, my Shaykh, what's happened to you that you are dying over the thing that will die? That you are giving your life for that thing that will ultimately die? What's happened to your akal, to your mind, to your brain? So in the same way a person lives his life, he's fana, gives his all for the dunya, and Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated and told us, and the noble companions, they were there and the Prophet was going with them, how he did tarbiyah and educated and developed the Sahaba, our Nabi. And he stopped at a place, it was a dirty place, and there was a donkey dead, decaying with the mosquitoes, flies on its skin, consuming its flesh. And the Prophet saw the decaying donkey, and the Sahaba, he addressed his companions. This is the meaning of the hadith. That would anybody from you will buy this or eat this? The Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, were surprised, taken aback. They said, O Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that this is a donkey, is dead, is decaying, and the flies are sitting on it, and there's nothing, no value of this that we can see. And Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam know better, but we can't see any benefit in this. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this dead donkey that you can see here, the dunya is worse than this. The dunya is worse. So you can think yourself here. That in other words, if a person gives his all for the dunya, just like the dead donkey, he's given his life and his energy and impact, his input for a thing worse than that. So this is magic, you'd say. That the dunya has cast its spell over our brains and made us fall in love with it. The beauty, the imagery, the glow, the scenery of the dunya has overtaken our minds, and we think that this is our permanent target, you could say. So Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, the verse that I just read to you, that I've heard from my pious predecessors, and what I understood from the company of our pious predecessors, Allah Ta'ala has described this. Allah has described this. That in the same way you will die and pass away in this world, and you will go to hell after wasting time. Why? Because the reality of this dunya we couldn't understand. We're just looking at the external part of the dunya. We couldn't understand the reality of the dunya. So Allah Ta'ala says, but there are people who understand the reality of the world. There are individuals. It's not the case that they're not there. And they understood the reality of this dunya. And how did they understand the reality? There will be a method. How will they understand what is the truth? Just like the Sahaba saw the dead decaying donkey, so then the people who understand the reality of the world will treat the world in the same way. They'll reject the dunya. They won't care about dunya. They won't want any dunya. Whatever happens, they don't care. Doesn't matter what's happening around them. They don't worry about poverty, hardship, or destitution. They hate the dunya from their hearts. They can do everything, but they don't do anything. In reality, they have learned that what is the reality of this world. And by their hearts, they will dislike the dunya. They will dislike the dunya from their hearts. And who are these people? Who can they be? Who are these people who understand? Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahar. Allah says, you know, you see the glow, the attractions around you, running around in the world, all the attractions. Allah says, to get to the reality, what's the truth? The people, to understand that they have got lots of wisdom and intellect, Allah says. Who are those people? They have got lots of intellect and wisdom. Ulil albab they will be, the people of understanding. And it's not those people who recited the kalama and they are decorating the world more with the technology or by planes and ships. Today technology is at its heights. Fine, that's good. According to the needs of our life, we need to develop things, produce things. But this is not the reality of why we are here. This is just for the time being. Just for the meanwhile. It's just the decoration for the time being. Like for example, if you decorate something for a short while, a function's taking place, or there's something that's happening, after that you take the decoration down. So this is, the life we're living is like the decorations during the function, the event. After that it will finish. But unfortunately, because we belong to this dunya, we're living in this dunya, we appreciate everything that belongs to this dunya. We say, oh, these are great people, they've reached yar, they've done research, development, and we are jahil, we don't know anything, we're illiterate, and we just keep reading the same books and just keep doing dhikr, and these are mad people, those who do dhikr, they don't know what they're doing. They criticize us. So Allah Ta'ala says that they are very intellectual people. How? Because they know about the reality of this world. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard. You know, this colorful dunya, they have reached to the depths. They have found the reality of this world, the deception. And if anybody wants to find the reality of this dunya, then to take the lesson, because you can't until you don't go, you know, if you know something's dirty, and you won't go away from that dirt, you'll carry on until somebody stops you, you'll carry on. Somebody tell you it's dirty, contaminated. Then you'll, that for example, if you like mangoes, but it's not good for your health, for example, your diabetes, may Allah not give diabetes, then you'll hide and eat that mango. And Mullah Sahib's laughing as well, yeah? See? Because maybe he's got that situation. So you'll hide and eat that, and you say, no, 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 I didn't, it's no problem. This is why it's wrong for him at that time, the health will go down. So that's what we do with this dunya. The people who like this dunya, who love this dunya, immersed in this dunya, mad in love with this dunya, they utilize the dunya for their so-called benefit. But Allah says, if you know the reality of this world, yes, just like ta'leem, the Holy Prophet gave to his sahaba, the noble companions. Why did he give ta'leem? So that late they will have enmity with them, and by nature, naturally they will dislike the dunya. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his greatest education for his sahaba, the companions, I can tell many events. Many events. The best teacher of the world was the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best students were the sahaba, the noble sahaba, companions. And the best sheikh in the world, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best murid, the students were the sahaba, noble companions. And he was their teacher. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most of all, what did he teach his sahaba to his companions? What did he emphasize on? Dunya, the reality of the dunya. Learn it, understand it, identify it. On one occasion, The war booty came, and there was silk cloth there at that time, valuable silk, luxurious cloth that came from the spoils of war. So the sahaba, when they saw the silky cloth, they were amazed, surprised, taken aback. That is this a certain texture of cloth as well? What cloth is this? What did they know? They were very simple. They didn't know about good cloth. They looked at each other and started to wrap the cloth and look at it. They said, "Ooh, this is very nice, this silky cloth." Suddenly the Holy Prophet saw this position of his companions. He came, approached them, and he reminded them. He said, "Oh, my noble companions, this cloth you're looking at and you're very happy, you think it's great. Let me tell you something, my companions. That in Jannah paradise, that one person, that the handkerchief you will get to clean your nose will be millions of times better than this silk cloth that you are rubbing here and looking at." And he left that education. They dropped it down as if there was poison on the silk. That's what the teaching, the love of the dunya needs to come out. So as long as our love stays for the dunya, we cannot be successful. Doesn't matter how religious we are. And it doesn't matter how religious we are, but if we are immersed in the dunya, in the world, but the sahaba had nothing apart from Allah and his Rasul salam, and us, we have this thinking, this mindset that we shouldn't do this at all. We shouldn't run after dunya. So we should live like a traveler in this world, a traveler. We should be waiting. We have no need to make palaces and buildings and mansions. Why do we need to hoard money in the banks? What are we going to do? So our own people criticize us Muslims. You are mad, jahil, you went to England, didn't make a house, no detached house, no bank balance, no savings, such a big building, his children are there, somebody's a doctor, somebody's an engineer, look at those rich people. You're nothing. You haven't earned anything. They mock him. So when I took a step for my children, then all my relatives, they left me. My uncle came, and he was a foreign secretary. And I'm telling you the position of mine at that time. So he came, and on a visit, he came here, and he came to my house. I said, "Please stay with me, and come in, please." And he said to me, "Your children, well, how have you treated your children here? What have you done?" I said, What have I done? He said, have you not enrolled them in any school here, in a grammar school? What's this Quran you're teaching your children? Hafs of Quran and memorizing Quran? I said, "Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard. Wal ardi wa akhtilafi al-layli wa nahar la ayati li ulil al-bab." I said, "There's a reason for this, my uncle." I said, "Chacha Jan, my dear uncle, wa ulil al-bab, that you won't understand this point. There's a reason behind it." And he passed away. May Allah Ta'ala give him Jannah, paradise. And everyone's there amazed at what's happening here. So the reality of the world is that if we understand, because I didn't do a drama with my children. I didn't say to them to show them dunya. At that time nobody knew me. And I didn't have any situation where people recognized me or realized what was. No. But I realized that this dunya, that the sober, the company of my Shaykh Darvesh told me this. Yes, I'm turning the masjid, sitting here. And I had degrees of the world, education, I studied in university, master degree I had, I taught, I studied in Germany, high class result, MSc degree, and University of Punjab degree, and this wasn't my line, the deen. But when Allah Ta'ala wants to give hidayah guidance to somebody, there was a darwish, when I put my hand in the hand of the shaykh, I understood everything about the reality of life, where am I stood? You understand what I'm saying? So do dua. Today everyone also puts their hand in the hand of shaykh like this. So our eyes open up wide and we realize the reality. Until the love of the dunya doesn't come out of our hearts, remember this, then we cannot get the nearness to Allah. We cannot find Allah. Remember this. So two loves cannot be in the same time, the same heart. Two opposite loves. The love of the dunya cannot come out from the heart until you don't get the company of the wali Allah, the shaykh. It's the love of the world is embedded in our hearts today. But the person who goes into the company of the shaykh, the wali Allah, then the love of the dunya melts away like the ice when it melts into water. That a person doesn't even realize that he's got any loss from the dunya because he's concentrating on the reality. So these words I'm saying now, and I'm speaking to my murids, my students. So I feel like this, Allah gave me an opportunity. We had a gathering in which I should fulfill my faraid, and mashallah you get some benefit. That's how I'm speaking to you. And those same people are sat here. They're the same people, I can't see anyone else. And maybe this will be unique for them, but I'm just saying these things regularly. We got this day and get the thawab, the reward. But no, I'm talking about the reality of life. What is the reality of the dunya? Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahar la ayati lil albab. Allah says these are not the intellectual people. The intellectual people are those people who realize the reality of this world. The people who have wisdom are those who understand the reality of salah. They pray salah. They don't just pray salah, they understand the reality of Allah. And the true people of wisdom are those who understand the reality of the Quran. They don't just read Quran, they don't just memorize it, they understand the reality of the Quran. Everything has a reality. One is dahir, one is a batin. So Allah says that we have grabbed hold of the exterior. Pray salah? Yeah, pray salah. That's it. We're just worried about the external action. Have you done this? I've done that. Such great nur and light and wisdom and pearls Allah's point is ibadah, that the human being, the Muslim, should be lost in the ibadah. You think salah is a minor action? That Allah gave every Nabi salah, subhanallah, and nobody was called for any other action apart from worshiping Allah. As a Musa alayhi salam was called, and Allah Ta'ala, he was given in the earth, and the Prophet was given salah in the heavens. And today how are we treating salah? We do pray. Four rakats of prayer, two rakat, and we fight over fard and sunnah magda. There's thousands of different masail over how to pray salah. But we haven't got to the reality of salah. If we get to the reality of salah, then every action of our salah will generate love. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard. Waqt ila fi layli. I quickly finish because we have to do dhikr as well. I'll conclude. So Allah says, Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard. Waqt ila fi layli wa nahar. Allah says, if you want to understand and appreciate and identify the reality of this world, then go towards the people of wisdom. Go to the people of intellect. Who are the intellectual people? The brainy people, the people of wisdom. That he who in his life has brought his life to dhikr. Who learns about the reality of life, the wisdom? Who is saying this? Allah, our Rabb, is telling us in the Quran that if you don't understand what is the world and you stay lost in the world, and when you understand the reality of the world, you want to get to the reality of life, there's only one way. The people of wisdom, intellect, what did they do? What path did they adopt? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. Subhanallah. Understand what I'm saying? Am I right? So this is dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. Dhikrullah, Allah Ta'ala has put us such a great impact and quality in dhikr, that when you do dhikr properly, you go towards dhikr properly. Look, when you go to the wali Allah's company, why does your life change upside down, flip upside down? Is he a magician? Is he some sorcerer? Is he something? Is he someone who's casting a spell? Nothing. He just teaches the dhikr of Allah. That's it. And he tells you the tariqah, the method. And tell me, that's how the love spreads. That if a person adopts the path of dhikrullah, it cannot be that the love of the dunya will not come out from his heart. And it cannot be that he will not dislike the dunya. Doesn't matter which level of dhikr, doesn't matter how you do dhikr, how much you do, a person broken down like me, but the love of the dunya will come out of his heart according to the amount of dhikr he does. And if you go to other people, but the dunya will stay embedded in your heart. Coming out of the heart doesn't mean that from the heart it should come out. The dunya should come out from the heart. قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَلَا جُنُبًا. Allah says, this is, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ لَا قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَلَا جُنُبًا وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَةِ وَلَا. And their style of doing dhikr is very good. What's their style? وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ. They do muraqabah. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ. They ponder and reflect. This is the Naqshbandi order dhikr, isn't it? That we teach muraqabah dhikr. Meditation, silent, the remembrance of Allah. No screaming, shouting. Understand? Because with dhikr, remembrance of Allah, a fikr, a concern is generated. And that fikr is what? That in reality, that same fikr that concern when you go into muraqabah, then he opens up and unravels the reality of the world. Understand what I'm saying? Understand? So this is what we need to understand. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Then what does Allah say? Then Allah calls out. Allah calls out. Subhan, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاتِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ. Oh foolish people, you die for the world. And the people of wisdom say, Subhanak. That such a dirty impure place which is worse than the decaying donkey. So Allah Ta'ala has made the world for our reason. For this, Allah is free from all defects, all impurities. So Allah has created this world for us to enjoy the impurities. No, Subhanak. Subhanak, Allah is so great and pure, He will make a dirty place for us. Is this the objective of life? The dunya, Allah said, that this is just a test for you. A challenge for you. That beware, don't die for the dunya. It's a very dirty place, impure. And who's made the dunya? Allah has made this dunya. And all praises are for Allah. Subhanaka. That Allah is free from all defects. And this dunya is full of defects. Everything in this world has a defect. An impurity. Or something wrong. There's a deception. Delusion. Fraud. A lie. You can't trust the dunya. It deceives you. Deceives me. On every footstep, the world, the dunya will deceive you, and your wujud, it deceives you, and your own self, it deceives you. The dunya is full of the nooks, the defects. Allah Ta'ala said that this is not the objective of the world, that what you are running after. Say subhanAllah. You like what I'm saying, this tafsir? Mawlana Sahib, have you heard this tafsir before? Yeah? So, Allah says, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِّنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So Allah says, this world is a waste of space. It's a waste of space. Have some thinking. Think, pull yourself to. Allah says, it's the dhikr of Allah that creates that pondering, that reflecting. Subhanaka faqina adab an-nar. Allah says, my ibadah, what a unique worship. So what's the case here? What's Allah saying here? Subhanallah. And straight away after this says, the reality is this, O believers, that is this dunya, we shouldn't run after the dunya. The dunya is here for this purpose, that what should we do? That we need to save ourselves from the adab of the grave. This is the case, isn't it? So in reality, this world Allah has put us here is to prepare for the hereafter. Don't fool in the deception, it's a net that will pull on you, Allah says. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. The walis of Allah, those of intellect, wisdom, they said that we will sit in the world and we will prepare ourselves to be safe from Jahannam, hellfire, adab. We want to prepare to go into Jannah. This is what we are here for on earth. This is not the place earth that we lose ourselves in the world. Our job is not this, to run after the dunya. This dunya is a deception. It's a mirage. You know, in the desert you have a mirage. And you go there and there's nothing there at all. The shops, the business, just take it as a need, as a requirement. For the time being. That's it. Yes, and don't die and give your all for this dunya. Am I right or wrong what I'm saying? That please accept or confirm what I'm saying is right. So we should practice on this. So at this point we need to generate in our heart how? By doing abundance of dhikr, we need to develop this in our minds, in our hearts. So Allah says, they are very high level people. As Abu Rayra radiallahu anhu qal, he narrated the hadith. And mashallah, with your barakah, the points that come in my mind, inshallah, I'll share them with you. I'm very tired all night long. They made me stay awake and I came in the morning during the day. The same people are sat here. And Mawlana Sahib sat me here with his barakah blessings. Some words are coming, I'll share them with you. So Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he narrates this hadith. As the Shaykh al-Hadith has narrated this hadith, that is in his kitab. And he said that on the day of judgment, Allah will call out, and the call out will come, where are those people with intellect, with wisdom? Who will stand up? The scientists, the physicians, the geologists, the meteorologists, the chemists, you know, that we think they're the people of wisdom. And everyone else we think is illiterate, backward. And what do we think of Hafiz Quran? We say he's a Maulvi nowadays. And we don't give him respect. If you go to a feast or a invitation, and they won't even give him a seat, a nice place to sit. And they say, what's this imam? He's got this libas. And he's imam. They say, and they say, who's coming here? Oh, we call those people who I've just mentioned to you. The great people of the dunya, the scientists, the engineers, the technicians, they've studied chemistry, science. Don't take back what I'm saying, but this is the reality, we give respect to them. Who are the ulul albab? They don't, nobody asks the ulul albab, the people of wisdom, intellect, the learned people, the deen, that we said, they're backward, they're fundamentalists, they're illiterate. So, when in a family, then who'll ask my son? Yeah, he's like me. Yes, they'll say, Maulvi, what's this Maulvi? Who's going to ask him? My auntie is saying to me, my auntie. Yes, and she's praising her own son. And I said, Subhanallah, I'm enjoying because I understand the reality of this world, this dunya. So I'm thinking they are stupid. Not me. They are stupid, illiterate. I'm laughing on them. I'm laughing at them. I feel pity on them. That you're mad running after the dunya and the darkness, you call it light, and the light, you call it darkness. So the call will come out on the day of judgment. Allah will say, where are the people of intellect, the people of wisdom? Who will get up? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبٍ بَلَىٰ announced in the Qur'an. Those are the people of intellect. What will be their hal on the day of judgment? On the day of judgment, the plane of judgment, this will be called out. And we'll see who stands, which engineer will stand, which doctor, which chemist, which physician, which scientist. Will those people in the dunya or high class, will they get, we say that he's educated. And is the Hafiz Qur'an not educated? Mufassirin, is he not educated? We say he's wasted time, 8 years in Darul Uloom. What did he study? He studied hadith, and they're saying he's wasted. They're saying these are the people of intellect, they're educated. We call them educated people, progressive people. These all jahil, we say, the dini people. Say subhanAllah. So have a bit of patience. Allah says, little bit of patience, and this will be the hal in the day of judgment. Allah say, yes, I will tell you who are the ulil albab, the people of wisdom. Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. What did they do? These are those people in the morning they did dhikr of Allah, in the evening they did dhikr of Allah, in the morning again they did dhikr of Allah, every place they did dhikr of Allah, outside, sitting, standing, and even lying down they did dhikr of Allah. SubhanAllah. And never did they leave the dhikr of Allah. Because when the insan does the dhikr of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generates a fikr, a concern. That's a light, that fikr. It's a light. Allah ta'ala embeds that, and Allah ta'ala puts that into the heart, enlightens his heart, his whole body, his life, his mindset. To this extent, there's a bulb in your heart, and your whole body is enlightened. Your mind opens up, your brain opens up with this. So when there'll be light, then you can see everything. The spiders, insects, creepy crawlies. What's that? What's that? I can see everything. So, does anyone have this? Then when in the darkness you see that, will you touch something when it's dirty or dangerous? That in the darkness you don't want to get hold of the dangerous things. And when the nur of dhikr will come inside you, the light of the dhikr of Allah will come inside you, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ, then a concern, a fikr is generated in that person. So these are those people, ulil albab, that they gave their whole life for the dhikr of Allah. And these are the people who sat on the palm mats, on the straw mats. They are the poor people. When I used to go to Hazrat Sahab, it was a small palm mat. I talk about my Hazrat Sahab. There was no fan, there were the hand fans. And you know there's a lot of heat there in the desert area, in Dera Ghazi Khan. And 110 degrees Fahrenheit, very hot, and you'd have a thin kurta, and coughing, and there was, you know, it was hardship. It was a total, you know, dusty ground. And the faqir, the waliullah, sat on the dusty ground on the palm mat. He's addressing me. And I'm educated in the dunya. He said, Falaqi sahab, now you've learned dhikr. I said, please, I'm so grateful to you that you've taught me dhikrullah. And he said, this is not enough. He said to me, my sheikh, I said, gee. He said, where you've come from, you have to go back there. And that Western education you attained from those universities, go back there. And you need to now teach people the dhikr of Allah in those lands. Oh, wallahi. Go back, he said. He said, this is not here for you to stay. This was his barsirat, his vision. And he sat there on the poor mat. Where is he looking? The noor. That this person, he will go back, the qawm, the Muslims will leave their lands, go to the UK, our young generation will get lost, they won't know about the sunnah, they'll be lost, they'll lose out, their lives will be destroyed, the women will move their parda. Go Faruqi sahib, my sheikh said to me, go, there should be imamas on their heads, and there should be parda on the bodies of the women, and burqa, and make them separate from that lifestyle so that they come back towards the deen. And I will give you the weapon, the tools that Allah Ta'ala has given them. What are those weapons? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ الْقِيَامَ وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. My Shaykh gave me that, the tools. He said that grab hold of dhikrullah and teach it. And that's what I did. That, mashallah, I thought, what is Hazrat Sahib saying here? I'm not ready for this to go to the UK at all. To this. And I have nothing, I have no knowledge. What duty has Hazrat Sahib given to me? That I've studied, nobody recognizes me when I go back. They say, he's a peer, he's a Shaykh, what's happened to him? And then, the next, I slipped, and the next day, Hazrat Sahib said to me, you haven't gone. I said, Hazrat Sahib, I'm thinking, and the third time then Hazrat Sahib said, that from Allah the order has come, and he spoke, and then I went. And they're no more staying in Pakistan now. I'm telling you the true story. True story. Have you seen the difference? So what I'm saying is that faqir, wali Allah, his knowledge, his vision, his long-term vision, his fikr, his concern, look at his sense, his understanding, his awareness, that 70 years before today he sat on that straw mat, palm mat, and he had that concern for the ummah, for the believers in this land. And he didn't have a personal friendship with me. He saw that this individual, he's a Western person, and he will do good work of the deen. And he can speak all the languages. He understands that culture. And he understands the education that he's wandered around the lands. If he will change, then he can change everybody there. Yes? So when the intoxication of the dunya will come off him, then he will be able to influence the people in the world, and people will accept him. Because people say, oh, Mawlana sahab, they don't know, they have no akal, no wisdom, no education, they talk about Jannah, Jahannam. But Shaykh sahab, my Shaykh said that, no, they will believe in me because he studied from somewhere else. So most definitely they'll say, yeah, he's speaking the truth. Yes, so mashallah, the Mawlanas, the scholars, the Hafiz, people in the dunya, they reject them. They say, oh, you studied hadith, but when people speak to me, I say, I'll speak to you. That I've got the education, I can explain. Yes, because I've studied here, in this culture, in this tradition environment. So I'm aware of the culture, the mindset, the thinking, the behaviors. So who can reject what I'm saying? Yes, a person himself who has consumed the poison, then he can tell you the taste of the poison, isn't it, Mawlana? A person who sucked on the mango, he'll tell you which mango is better. Is it Charsa's better or is this mango better? Eat this or leave this. He can advise. You understand what I'm saying? So such a person, Hazrat Sahib prepared and sent here. Don't worry, you will be disrespected. People, the alims will disrespect you. Don't listen to them, Hazrat Sahib said to me. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to their words. All you have to do is do the dhikr of Allah and revive the sunnah. There was an ashik of Hazrat Thanvi sahab. He was an ashik, and mashallah, he was a big ustad. Hazrat Saharanpuri sahab was the ustad. And he was my sheikh. His ustad was Hazrat Saharanpuri. Hazrat Yahya, Hazrat Sheikh's father, Hazrat Sheikhul Hadith, and my Sheikh, they studied Hadith together with Hazrat Yahya sahab, the father of Hazrat Sheikhul Hadith. And they were class fellows, and he knows everything. And he said that, go. Don't worry. The ulama, the respected scholars will say, just listen to them. You keep on doing your work of the deen. One day they won't consider you as a normal person, they will understand your greatness. That's it. And today, faqir, 60, 70 years before today, I'm talking about the vision of my Shaykh. This is that nur that concerns a fikr, a concern inside a person. And after decades, he thinks about who? Just about Allah and his deen. He doesn't think I have to save money, then poverty will come. What will happen to my children? Let me save up, put some in the bank. When we leave this country, suddenly we won't have any money, then I'll go there. What will I eat there? Allah says, this concern, worry will finish. He has this concern. Then when we leave this world, what will we leave this world with? So this concern, if we can develop it, that's the end of story. So this concern to develop this, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا. The call out will come. Where are those people? The hadith says that. Stand, those people stand. Who are those people? Those same people who are simple, doing the dhikr of Allah. At that time, there will be high class, the best, selected, who Allah Ta'ala says, أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. And mashallah, those who do dhikr of Allah, their status, that today the people of the dunya laugh at them. Oh, people who laugh, don't look at me by laughing. What a great poem. He says, oh, people who laugh and mock, don't laugh and laugh and look at me. That you also will need to love this action one day. That if you have love for a wali Allah, then you also will become like this one day. So don't laugh at me. Today you're laughing and mocking me, but take the hand of the Wali Allah, and tomorrow also the love of the Wali Allah will make you like this. So take the hand of Wali Allah, and you'll also do the same actions that he's doing that you're laughing at. So if you laugh and you continue to laugh, then the dunya will laugh at you. Do you understand what this poem? So my brothers, my colleagues, alhamdulillah, dhikr is a great deed. And then when this announcement will be made, people will stand, then see further. Look at the honor that Allah says in the hadith. Then a standard, a flag will be made, which will be the flag of hamd. Why? Because all life long they used to praise Allah, hamd, praise Allah, hamd. And they spent their life like this. And then the flag of hamd will stand. And from that flag of hamd, those people will stand under that flag, under the shade of that flag, straight without any reckoning, they will go straight into paradise, straight into paradise. And today we can't do dhikr. Everything else we can do, functions, events, journeys, talking, but no dhikr. We cannot make this excuse, Allah Ta'ala, for this action, for this purpose of dhikrullah. Allah Ta'ala has given us the teaching, and we will be scolded and told off. So for this action of dhikrullah, in the whole of Bolton, the biggest masjid, Allah selected this masjid, Masjid Zakariya. And from advance, it was called Zakariya Masjid in advance. I didn't make this masjid, you made this masjid. Allah selected this masjid, the biggest masjid in Bolton. When it was being made, nobody knew that the real work of the deen is going to take place here. Yes, Allah says, Arfa'u, that when the world was constructed, when Ibrahim alayhi salam was constructing the Kaaba, then he didn't know what's going to happen in that Kaaba. Allah Ta'ala instructed him to make the Kaaba. We couldn't imagine, those people could not imagine that they will take over the masjid and do their dhikr here, and there will be no other action, they'll dim the lights, and what else do they do? And most of all, we do this work here now, dhikrullah. Are we not doing this? Yes, dhikrullah is what we're doing here. The remembrance of Allah. Comfortable, the best masjid Allah Ta'ala has given to you, and the best committee, and the best friends, and the best imam, and those people, mashallah, who cooperate with us and love us, and ijazah we've been given. Is this the case or not? And who's doing this? For which reason? So that, because your action is very beloved, it's very great indeed, the dhikr of Allah. Allah likes this action, dhikr of Allah. So Allah's given us the best masjid. People say to me, look, in London you've got a khanka, Bradford khanka, and also five or six khankas, I can't say a khanka here and there. Why don't you make a khanka in Bolton? I said, ajeeb, weird person you are. I said, can't you see the khanka? He said, where? I said, what's this? This is the biggest khanka in Zakariya Masjid. Subhanallah. And Allah has given this to us. Allah has given this to us. So wherever a person does dhikr, it's a khanka. It's a khanka. Is this the case or not? So my colleagues, my brothers, Allah's give praised his dhikr so much. Those who do dhikr, Allah's praised, that they are the intellectual people. They are the people of wisdom. Their lights, their hearts are enlightened. This whole verse of the Quran I recited in front of you. And it's a very lengthy tafsir of this verse. So make a promise that we will do dhikr of Allah. We will learn this and connect yourself. Then everything else, Allah automatically, the sins, Allah remove it, enlighten your heart. And the love of the dunya will go. Love of temporary things will go. Just stick yourself to the dhikr of Allah morning and evening. Allah has given us majalis and masjids. And you will be otherwise ungrateful people. Unthankful. Allah has given you a great resource. Great resource. And even then you don't come to the dhikr of Allah. Such a great community, committee, people who pray salah. And mashallah, now the masjid will be full with salah. But after salah, we run away from the dhikr. Allah Ta'ala will ask us about this. That, were you mad, those people who are doing dhikr? What would happen if you just stopped for a short while and did my remembrance after salah? What loss would you have incurred? This person, what was he asking from you? No money, no worth. All he's saying to you is do dhikr of Allah. That's it. Just a restricted time. And then do everything else you want to in the dunya. Hadith teach, Quran teach, and do studies and education. By a limited time, Allah has ordered to remember Allah in the morning and the evening. And there's a people who are sitting in the masjid remembering Allah. You should do the same. And what disturbance is there for you? What's the problem for you? What stops you? So give dawah to people. Okay, propagate this. So will you say to everyone for dhikr? A true, honest promise? Okay. So just when it's dhikr time, stop everything. Allah has given the order. What is the order Allah has given? The morning, when it's dhikr, you should remember Allah in the morning. And the evening, you should end the day with dhikr. Start the day with dhikr, end the day with dhikr. And mashallah, it will give us good benefit. Sabbihu bukratan wasila, Allah says. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Sabbihu bukratan. And do everything else you want in between. Earning, eat, dunya, wife, children, business, trade, everything. It's jais, permissible. But can make a connection with Allah morning and evening, and dhikr of Allah for me and you is a brilliant action. Most of all the action, this is the first destination after death, is what? Is the grave. Yes, it was janazah. Where did that poor soul go who died? Yes, we just give, put the hand on the grave or lift it up, but he has to go, the poor soul who's died. And there's a ditch dug there in the earth, and there are scorpions and snakes and serpents. They don't just throw him. They lower the body and then put the soil. Our children or parents, that we lower him and suppress him in the grave. We don't want him to come out and run away. It will happen to me and you as well. Will anybody come to save us after that? Will anyone ask, how am I? And the guarantee, the Prophet said, that most of all in the grave, that you will go the first night after death, the action that will protect you the most from the adab, the punishments, and will enlighten your grave, what is the amal? Dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. You say? Correct? So inshallah, let's promise, we'll do the dhikr of Allah. So we have a short while now, inshallah. What's the time? What's the time, Maghrib? We'll do remember dhikr of Allah now till Maghrib, okay? Should we do that? Loud dhikr will do. Recite the Rusli.